All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcast. Good afternoon. It is August 8th, 2023. Beautiful afternoon here on the East Coast today after all the big storms came rolling through and missed us. Or at least we saw some lightning. Hey, I told my wife, be careful what you wish for. You know, I saw some pictures. They look like some serious damage in Maryland. T's and P's. Hope everybody gets their power back on. Hope everybody's safe, right? But be careful what you wish for. I like a little weather drama, but I don't want any, you know, destruction. And we were actually under some tornado watches yesterday, so all worked out. But yeah, I tried to do this podcast this morning and just was not feeling it. And when I'm not feeling it, I've learned just skip it and do it later. So thought I'd try to sit down. I just finished. It is it's almost 6:30 at night. Thought I'd sit down and see if I could debrief my mind and share some thoughts. Had a great weekend. You know, I probably shared so many times about paddling, but we did finally have the big Tillman Island paddle race, and it was fantastic, awesome. Finished second out of three boats. It's not last, and it's not first. Average. Typical Tom, right? Just an average guy, but it was a lot of fun, and my shoulders are very sore today. They weren't so bad yesterday, but today I'm definitely feeling some soreness. But yeah, great to be alive, super grateful. Just had a buddy of mine, I just cut his hair, and he was telling me about an event. I'll keep it anonymous, but there was a lot of drinking, and people disappeared, right, and chaos ensued, and arguments started and things were said, and then the next day it was, you know, sorry about last night. And my buddy's like, you know, there's some truth in some of the shit that was said. And sometimes, you know, that is, it's an interesting thing. You know, when I would get under the influence of alcohol, I was very, very nasty and mean in the end. I wasn't always that way. I don't think I may have been, but definitely in the end of my drinking, I was very nasty. And, you know, I would say things, right? And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, the alcohol brings the truth out. And some of the things that I said should have been kept a secret. But, you know, sometimes we say things and sometimes you can't get that toothpaste back into the tube. And it sounded like that happened to him. And it sounded like maybe a friendship might have ended over it, which is unfortunate. But that is the life of drinking, right? Even if you're not an alcoholic, right? Even if you're not a bum sleeping in the gutter, you know, and lost everything, you know, we still, even the amateurs can have one of those nights and wake up the next morning and full of regret.
Leave the taste that's been
great song. Street of Dreams, Guns N' Roses off Chinese Democracy. I have heard that song before. It's interesting. One of the funny things, one of the coolest things about doing this podcast is this little bit of music I get to play. I guess I get to play it. I mean, no one's yelled at me yet. This podcast makes zero money, so you can't take away my money, and which is cool. You know, it's nice when you're not making money because there ain't a damn thing people can say to you, right? All the problems that all these people are having today are all because it's about making money. And this self-censoring, YouTube, all these different places pulling you down and pulling down your revenue. Do a podcast that doesn't make money. You can play and do and say whatever you want. And really, there ain't a damn thing they can do to you because I have no money. So, but I love the fact that I get to play that song and other songs and listening to, you know, it seems like any like romantic breakup song, it somehow could be relevant to me breaking up with alcohol, right? You know, alcohol was my best friend. It was a long relationship, probably one of the longest relationships I've ever had. And when we broke up, I was sad, right? And so that song, you know, it can be talking about that too, right? It can cover a lot of different things. But I'm glad that relationship is over. I'm over it. I've worked it out, right? But yeah, it is, you know, it's interesting. I'm so grateful today that I don't drink. I'm so grateful that I don't have to put a sticky note that says I'm sorry about last night, right? Any arguments that I have today, I can clean up pretty quickly. It's pretty funny that when I see someone that gets in an argument and that just can't let it go, right? Just has to fight it out for days and days. And, you know, there's a solution, right? You can become accountable, figure out the part you played, squash it, and move on. And that's just one of the gifts that this program continues to give me. And for that, I am very grateful. But yeah, so we did the race, a lot of fun, survived once, got second. Really a great battle with the other team, which was my other teammates, right? We had two boats and had a lot of fun. Just grateful to be sober, right? And out there living. I mean, living a freaking dream that I'm living a life that I could not have even dreamed up drunk, right? My drunkest days couldn't have dreamt up the wonderful life that I have today. And I give it all the credit to God and to this program. So thank you for that. And you know, I give myself a little credit, you know, I want this. So I try to put the work in, right? I got to speak last night. I went to a meeting on Sunday and a guy asked me walking in and said, "Hey, can you do me a favor?" And I was like, "What do you need?" And he goes, "Can you speak for me tomorrow night?" And I was like, "Sure, absolutely." And he said, "It's on the 11th step." And I'm like, "Sounds good. We'll chat about it." Which meant, unfortunately, that I missed my original Monday night meeting, which I think would have been on the second step. But it was great. Went to the meeting last night to speak. And, of course, there was a newcomer, which is fantastic. And, you know, immediately when there's a newcomer, we have to revert back to the first step. It's just an unwritten rule. It may be written. I'm not sure. But it is an unwritten rule. And he's like, "Do you think we need to go back to the first step?" I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely. We definitely have to go back to the first step." And he goes, "Well, let me ask the group conscience." And I go, "That's fine." And he says, "You know, we got a newcomer. Should we revert back to the first step?" Everybody goes, "Yes, to the first step." So back to the first step we went. And the reason that we do that is, for one, we were originally, he had asked me to speak on the 11th step. I mean, if I had to sit there at my first meeting and listen to somebody share about the 11th step, I probably would have pulled my hair out. And maybe not have come back, right? Because that is just at a whole different level. I mean, I have plenty of time being sober, and I still, you know, I had to spend a lot of time trying to think about, you know, how I was going to share. And but when we went back to the first step, I was like, "Oh my God, now I got to think about how I would share on the first step." And, you know, it's easy to look at the first step now after going through all that I've gone through and see exactly what it was about. And, you know, I shared in the meeting last night, you know, I'm a self-centered asshole with deficiency in humility. I didn't know that when I came in. I thought I just drank too much, right? Actually, when I came in, I was a guy that drank too much that got punched in the mouth too much, right? And so that was my escape plan. I came into recovery as a victim of alcoholism, which I didn't realize at the time, right? But I have to look at it because I really struggled to understand these steps, right? We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. All I really heard was alcohol and unmanageable. And what alcohol, the alcohol part meant because I drank it every day, right? The unmanageable part was I was always getting caught at it. So was my life getting caught drunk unmanageable? Yes. But like I said the other day, you know, I had no life. I had no life. I had a shitty job, had a shitty car and a shitty apartment with parents that just didn't give up on me. And, you know, one of my buddy Matt used to say, you know, because he was in the restaurant industry, and he said that when he got sober, he started working in the restaurants, and the restaurant industry loved him until he could learn to love himself. And that's sort of what AA did, right? AA loved me until I could figure out how to love myself. And one of the key, you know, being in for 5 years, drinking, coming back, changing that perspective from a person that had to be here to a person that gets to be here. Then I was able to start to allow the group to love me until I could figure out how to love myself. And what I've learned, right? And like what I told the person, the newcomer last night, I said, forget about all this stuff. Go to 90 meetings in 90 days and then check in, right? Just start to, you know, get involved, right? Starting to listen to people that are sober, discuss things and have conversations. So this was a female. So group, you know, team up with some other women, right? And just really get a lot of support and be surrounded by a lot of great examples, right? Do that for 90 days. That's what I say. You know, there's people that want to jump into the steps and they want to do a big book study right away. Listen, if that's what you want to do, do that, right? But for me, what I learned the most of, right, and I can tell you, and I've said this before, there isn't one word in this book, and I am holding up the 12 and 12 as I speak, right? It's in my hand. There isn't one word in this book that inspired me, right? The people getting sober, working with other people, working these steps, working the traditions, working meetings on a weekly, daily basis, those are the people that inspired me. You know, Ron M., my first temporary sponsor, I just liked the way he shook people's hands, right? I love the way he could walk up and be like, look someone straight in the eye and say, how you doing, bud? Good to see you. My name's Ron. I'm like, holy shit, that is fucking awesome, right? I couldn't do that. I had no, you know, if you look at, like, you know, I have little kids, and if I say, you know, we'll go places, and I'm like, you know, shake Mr. Jim's hand, right? And, you know, my son will be like, you know, how you doing? But he can't look at him, right? Because it's all new. You know, 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds, they're not big shakers, right? They're only shaking when your parents are making them. They're shaking when their parents are making. And that's how it is with my kids. And that's normal, right? The problem is that when I came in for the first time, I was basically a 13-year-old kid in a 37-year-old man's body, right? I was a freaking little kid driving an old car. And so just to see the simple things like shaking hands, you know, looking person in the eye. You know, I used to watch him. We'd pull up to the meeting. We'd walk up, immediately start shaking hands. What's up? Hey, Ron, how you doing? My name's Ron. How you doing? Hey, brother, how you doing? My name's Ron. I'm like, holy cow. This is my friend Tom. How you doing? You know, like a kid. How you doing? I just didn't know how to involve or get involved with people, right? Because all the relationships from 14 to this point were all based on me getting something, whether it was drugs or alcohol or getting laid or something like that. It had something to do with me getting something. There wasn't a lot of life going on at that time that was serving anybody else but myself. And so to actually shake someone's hand and not act like, but really care, right? It's funny when you start removing drugs and alcohol out of our lives, how much human we are, right? I think as a human, we like to be kind with other people, right? I think we like to be compassionate and have empathy and listen and talk and share stories and be there for one another. I think it's one of the ingredients in the pink cloud, right? You start doing these little things that seemed like you would never be able to do, right? Have normal relationships, have, you know, people counting on you. I mean, when that started happening, I started to feel like, I was like, oh my God, this feels really good. Like, I haven't read a word. Haven't read a word out of this book. I've been to meetings. I've listened. You know, my sponsor told me you have nothing to say for the first year. I was like, oh. And today when I hear newcomers speak, I'm like, okay, right, I guess, right? But the old folks used to say, we have nothing to say for the first year. Take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. But, like, I couldn't say that now, right? If a newcomer started speaking, I'd be like, excuse me, zip it. Couldn't do that. Wouldn't do that, right? But there was something about that, right? Being told, you have nothing to say. There's nothing that's going to come out of your mouth that's going to help anybody for the first year. I was like, oh, my God. And I don't recall of him being that mean. You know, it's all with love, right? But I needed to be told. I needed to be humbled. You know, I needed my ego to be popped. And that's the kind of shit. When peers, people like me, men in my age group, peers that I, you know, find that I have respect for, start talking, I start listening. And early on, I'm super sensitive, right? You can't tell me anything without my feelings getting hurt. But I remember being told you have nothing to say. But personally, I was like, thank God. Right? I did not want to speak. I had nothing to say. But I just kept coming to the meetings, right? Kept coming to the meetings. And then over time, you know, I just started to feel more comfortable, right? I started to feel more comfortable in than I did out. Right, when I started coming to program, I felt more comfortable outside of the rooms than I did when I got in. But over time, doing 90 meetings in 90 days, I started to feel comfortable. People started to know my name. Hey, man, what is it, Tom? Hey, can you help me put the chairs out? Sure, I'd love to, right? I'm part of this. Hey, Tom, hey, you mind putting the chairs away? Sure. Hey, you want to go have coffee afterwards? Love to, right? And then it's like, hey, Tom, what's going on, Tom? People start to know your name, and then you start to know people's names. You know, one of the things that I think is most important, and I struggle with it, so I'm not perfect with it, but the respect that we give a person when we learn their name, right? You know, there was a guy I know that, you know, he doesn't, not just one guy, I've known several people, they just don't feel it necessary to take on the burden, right, of learning a person's name, because then you have to remember it, right? And so they'll revert to calling people, you know, cool people, right? Hey, cool guy, or cool chick or something. And this person was like trying to get sober. And I said, you know, man, you know, fuck all this bullshit. Why don't you just give somebody the respect and try to learn a name, right? The person was like, whoa, really? I'm like, yes. You know, that's what normal people do. We learn a name. And then respect them enough to remember it and address them with it. You know, when we call someone cool guy, hey, what's up, bro? Hey, cool man. You're basically saying, I'm too important to learn your name. Right? I am arrogant. And I don't need to learn your name. And what does arrogant mean? We run by a different set of rules. So what I always say is, you know, these are the small, early recovery is where we try to, you know, create new habits, learn a person's name, address them by their name, right? There's just these small things that have nothing to do with the big book or the 12 and 12, right? These are all just, I mean, I came in pretty fucking broken, pretty broken. I had no couth, no manners, no respect, no idea. I had no idea what my problem was. You know, at the time, I just got caught too much. I had no idea what a self-centered person I was. I had no idea how I'm sort of possessed by a demon that if given the right things, you can't evict, right? Only the 12 steps of a program can help you get that demon out of there. But I didn't realize it, right? I just thought, yeah, I drank too much and I got caught at it. And I was in bad shape. And so for my first 3 months, my first 90 days was just go to a meeting every day, right? Introduce yourself, sit there and listen. Go to a meeting every day, introduce yourself, sit there and listen. And that's what I did. And that would be, you know, it was a great start. And then eventually I got, you know, a different sponsor and started working the steps. And I still didn't understand, right? It's still confusing. But one day at a time. The second step, I did want to look at it. You know, I saw this step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. you know, I talked about this a little bit the other day about this guy that I've been following who I find very interesting, the fact that he's sober. And he talked about how, you know, back in the 40s and 50s, I guess, there were people, probably still people out there trying to prove that there is an actual God, right, through tests and studies and whatever. And no one could ever prove there was a God, right? It's basically, it's a God of faith. And when he heard that the guy couldn't prove that there was a God, he said, all right, I guess I'm just going to decide there is one and believe like there is one, right? I'm just going to have faith that God exists. And I'm going to live my life like I'm being watched under the eye of a higher power. And it was just a decision this person made and started living by, right? It's not too far out of the realm of possibilities that there's a God. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about it that says there is one. I have not been able to prove it, but I also haven't tried. Not important to me. I am very aware of the power of prayer, right? I'm also very aware of the power of self. And I'm very aware of an ego, pride, right? And I feel like all these are different ways of just basically saying the devil, right? And I'm not a devil lover. I'm not into the devil, but I just like to call it what it is. You know, we like to talk about God or higher power, all this other stuff. But when it comes to the lower power, nobody likes to say the D word. But to me, the devil, it's ego, pride, self, you know, self-centeredness, all that is basically the same thing. And I was possessed and was unaware of any of that. And I started to, you know, with the help of other people, started to understand, like, if I get too consumed in self, if I do something that's humble, which is like pray, I can diminish that power of self. And I've shared about this 100 times, and I'm not going to get too far into it, but I believe I have faith in the power of my prayer, my one prayer. And I don't use it all the time, right? Because I think I can figure out, for the most part, how to handle most things, right? But sometimes I just can't, and I have to revert to my prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, I'm not who I think I am. I'm not strong enough to do this. I'm relying. I have faith that you can help me, so I'm turning it over to you. And that's an act of humility, right? Because a self-centered person would be like, I got this. I don't need your help, God. I can figure this out. And that's where we usually make a big-ass mess of it. And to even have the idea of use a prayer to get ourselves not out of a situation, but just recognize that I can't do it by myself. Right? This isn't about, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I can't do it. You're going to have to do it. No. This is about saying that at this moment, I just can't do it by myself, and I'm recognizing it. Right? I'm just backslapping self a second. Right? I always say, humility is self's kryptonite. Self doesn't like you being humble. You know, self is like, no, man, we don't need to pray. Praying silly. Forget prayer. We'll figure this out. We got this, right? And how many times has prayer worked, right? It's always, and listen, I also spent a big portion of my life praying incorrectly, you know? Dear Lord, fix this. Dear Lord, get me out of this. Dear Lord, give me money. Dear Lord, give me a better girlfriend. Dear Lord, give me a better job. God isn't in the employment business, right? That's up to you. But when you maybe apply for too many jobs and you're feeling overwhelmed, that's where the Lord, at least my Lord comes in. And when I pray and I say, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And then I also have that other one that says, because sometimes I'll get some anxiety or a little stress and I'll say, I recognize that problem and I am going to work on it later. I do that. I say, because I'll sit at home, you know, after a long day, I'll be watching TV and all of a sudden I'll start thinking about like my cable bill. And I'm like, oh my God, have I paid it? And I start worrying about it and I start getting anxiety and I start having fear. And then I'll just say, hey, I'll address my cable bill later. I'll take care of the cable bill in the morning. And it sometimes just kind of helps and it passes, which is interesting. But there's a lot of power in self, right? There's a lot of power in self-centered fear. And, you know, when I said that this program took me and loved me until I learned to love myself, really what this program has helped me with is removing the fear, removing the fear. You know, it says fear made us drink. I agree, right? Removing the fear, take fear away, and what are you left with? Love. That's my opinion. You know, do your own research, whatever it is, but my life is pretty freaking awesome until fear shows up. The problem is that fear's in everything, right? The alarm clock, the sunshine, money, work, driving, cars, gas, food, everything. It has a little fear connected to it. You know, we just were up in Easton, and we wanted to go out and have dinner with the group. And I looked at the freaking, we went and looked at the menu. I mean, a bowl of crab soup was $18. I'm like, you know what? First of all, we don't even eat crab soup, one. But I said, we can afford it, right? We have enough money to buy soup or whatever it is we need, but do we need this? So we ended up going back to Easton and ate at Panera, which is still expensive, but, you know, we all got sort of what we wanted, and it wasn't too bad. But, you know, it's all scary, right? Fear, fear, fear. And so you have to work through each moment of fear, and sometimes I can work them out, and sometimes I have to call in some backup. And when that is the case, I have a prayer. And so that's what's going on. Let's see what time we're at here. I was grateful to share at the meeting last night. Just grateful to be sober, blessed every day. And let's see if I can read a quick daily reflections. And I see my wife is here. We're meeting our in-laws for dinner. Let's see, daily reflection. Dun, dun, dun. Here we go. Made a list. August 8th. Made a list of all persons we had harmed. 12 steps and 12 traditions. When I approached the 8th step, I wondered how I could list all the things that I have done to other people since there were so many people, and some of them weren't alive anymore. Some of the hurts I inflicted weren't bad, but they really bothered me. The main thing to see in this step was to become willing to do whatever I had to do to make these amends to the best of my ability at that particular time. Where there is a will, there is a way. So if I want to feel better, I need to unload the guilt feelings I have. A peaceful mind has no room for feelings of guilt. With the help of my higher power, if I am honest and myself, I can cleanse my mind of these feelings. Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you letting me sit down and chat a little bit. I hope everyone's having a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.